Let's take our seats. Now, we have something of an Easter drama for us to follow this morning. I'm very pleased that the teenagers from our DIG Sunday morning group are going to help us with this. Well, let's start by having a look at three rather wonderful people up here. These three athletes all became extra famous at the London Olympics last year. And of course, before the Olympics, they were known by a few, but afterwards they are known by many. Mo Farah and Laura Trott, the cyclist, and David Weir, the wheelchair racer. And their achievements last year changed the way that we think about them. Today we remember one of the great achievements of Jesus, how he was raised from the dead. And that is an achievement, an event, that should change the way we think about him. So I've simply summed up this morning's message like this. The resurrection changes the way we think about Jesus. The resurrection changes the way we think about Jesus. And my prayer really for us this morning is that this might be true. That as we come to think about the resurrection, it might help us to change the way we think about Jesus. And we're going to see how some of the people who were there at the time of the first Easter, how they had to do a big rethink about Jesus because of his resurrection. And we're following, as it says up there, the last chapter and a bit of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to start by going right back to the Good Friday, the day on which Jesus was crucified. And here we have two women looking for the tomb. Thank you.
Why are we going down here?
I just want to see where they've buried him.
How do you know it's this way?
Well, Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and buried it in his tomb. I think it's around here somewhere.
But what if the chief priests find us and they arrest us, just like they did with Jesus?
I think it's okay. We'll be all right.
I'm not sure. None of his disciples are doing this. They've all disappeared. Peter denied that he even knew Jesus.
I know. Let's just find where the tomb is, and then we can come back after the Sabbath and stay a bit longer.
Friends of Jesus were really devastated by what had happened on that Good Friday. They can't understand why their great hero, Jesus, has ended up being just another victim of the mighty Roman forces, and why the religious leaders had been able to get rid of him so easily. But the religious leaders were in fact still very wary of Jesus, even though he'd been buried. And they want a bit more help from the Romans, as our next little scene will show us. We've moved on from Good Friday to day two of the Easter events, the day after Jesus was crucified, and a couple of Roman guards are trying to relax.
Today is a bit quieter than yesterday. Crucifixions are always tricky. You never know what might happen.
Well, I think we did well. All three dead, job done as far as I'm concerned. Even had time to go down to the tavern. Got a bit of a hangover now though.
Who's that?
Come in.
Chief Priest.
What are you doing here?
Gentlemen, excuse me. I can see you are busy. I have instructions, and I have a little job for you to do.
Really? What's that?
One of the men who you crucified yesterday, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, was quite well known and had a large following. He made some very bold claims about himself. One of those claims was that when he died, after 3 days, he would rise again.
A bold claim indeed. But what has that got to do with us?
Well, we have raised this matter with your governor, Pilate.
Surely he didn't take it seriously.
No, of course not. But gentlemen, the point is this. What if some of the followers of Jesus came and stole his body and then told people that he had been raised? That would really stir things up now, wouldn't it?
I see. So what did Pilate suggest?
You and I are to go and make the tomb as secure as we can. We are to seal the stone so that it can't be moved. And then you two are to stand guard overnight until the third day.
No trips to the tavern for you then tonight.
Probably for the best.
Well, of course, as we know, overnight everything was to change. My prayer has been that as we are helped to think again about the resurrection, it might change the way we think about Jesus. It certainly had that effect at the first Easter, as our next little scene will demonstrate. Now we've moved on to day three of the Easter events, to the Easter Sunday morning.
Long.
No, I just think we should leave a few things to his body, just to pay our respects.
I know it's only been a couple of days, but I already miss him a lot.
Yeah, me too. His stories, his wisdom.
His understanding, his bravery.
His love.
He truly was a good man.
Look, the stone is rolled away. The tomb is open.
Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.
This is amazing.
And hard to understand.
Let's go find the disciples.
Greetings. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
See that the resurrection has changed the way that these women think about Jesus. He's gone from being a man who replaced sickness with health and ignorance with understanding to a really great saviour who has replaced death with life. Let's just think about that for a moment. Do you see how the resurrection shows us that nothing can stop Jesus? Nothing can get in his way. Now, we spend our lives in many respects looking for people to help change things for the better. In society, we look for heroes, as it were, who can make great changes, changing things for the better. We have that great hero here in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can come to him with our guilt. And we can come to him with our wrong and our sin. And through his death in our place and his great resurrection, he can offer us forgiveness. Forgiveness before God. We can come to him with our pride and our self-centered plans. And he can change our hearts so that we might humbly desire the good of others. And we can come to him with our foolish attitudes and our bad habits. And he can help us to think and behave in fresh ways. The Bible says that when Jesus comes again, he will even make everything new. He's the one who changes things for the better. Now, I think I need that greater sight of the Lord Jesus. I need to have my faith in him fed, so that I might come more confidently to him for forgiveness. I might come more confidently to him so that my heart might be changed, my way of thinking, speaking, and behaving. And I wonder whether we all need to, as it were, take on board the events that we're remembering today, to let these things feed our faith, to affect our lives, our confidence in Christ, and our prayers in his name. Many have done that over the years, and still do so today. But of course, some have tried to find a way of rejecting these great events, as our next scene will show us. Here we are with the chief priest, trying to get on with his work when he's interrupted.
Come in. Gentlemen, what's the matter? You look rather worried.
That tomb.
That man.
Open.
Gone.
Gone? What's gone?
An angel just rolled the stone. Tomb empty.
Jesus of Nazareth, gone.
No, I don't believe it. I think you both just fell asleep and his followers came and stole the body. This is the very thing I warned you about.
We do not fall asleep. The followers of Jesus are nowhere to be found. No one could have stolen the body. You saw how secure the stone was.
The earth shook. A man made of light just rolled the stone and sat on it.
Okay. Let me think. Oh dear, this is difficult. The very thing we dreaded. So inconvenient. I know. Let's just pretend that you fell asleep. And let's just pretend that the body was stolen.
Falling asleep whilst on duty is not what we do.
Falling asleep on duty does not go down well with the governor.
Perhaps a little gold might help you here. And if the governor was to get involved, I'll make sure you are kept out of trouble.
Well, as we can see, there are certain facts which we would all rather ignore. They are a little bit too difficult for us to accept. And as that film by Al Gore was called, they are something of an inconvenient truth. Last week, or the week before last, the Bristol rugby team had a match against the University of West England, which is also based in Bristol. So you can appreciate it was a rather important local derby. And last Sunday, I asked one of the Bristol University players how the game went, and he looked rather sheepish. He explained that they'd lost. I asked what the score was. It was 72-0. He gave us a long string of excuses to try and explain it all away, but the truth was the truth, even though it was most inconvenient. I think the resurrection of Jesus forces us to take him seriously, even if it might seem inconvenient at the moment. For his enemies, the resurrection of Jesus showed that he was a greater threat than they had realised. But for the women, the resurrection showed them that Jesus was a greater saviour than they had realised. It was the cause of great joy for them. It can be a source of great joy for us. When we think about the reality of this and what it means, death, the last great enemy, has been overcome. But what about his disciples, the ones who had run away on day one, Good Friday? How did the resurrection of Jesus affect them? Well, our final scene is sometime later in Galilee. The disciples are gathered, a bit like we are gathered here today, when the resurrected Jesus appears among them. Should have the picture on the screen. Thank you, girls.
It's him, Jesus, risen from the dead. I feel such a fool for running away from him when he was arrested. I feel embarrassed to be here, ashamed to meet him again.
I'm not sure it's him. How can this be? People don't just come back to life like this.
Shh, Listen, he hasn't come to tell us all, but to help us without doubt and to give us a job to do.
All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
So Jesus, the living Saviour, has all authority. We need not be quiet about him. Rather, he is to be spoken about and acknowledged across the world. The resurrection of Jesus, you see, changes everything. His life and power are to impact every part of our lives. 2 weeks ago, one of the couples in the church here had a beautiful baby girl, Joanna Hughes. It was a day when everything changed for the happy parents, Mark and Sarah. Someone is with them now who was not with them in this way before. They cannot carry on as if that someone does not exist. Rather, this new arrival affects everything. Affects the way they think about the present, their plans for the future. Affects the way they use their money and their time. Even their relationship with each other will be affected by the new arrival. The resurrection of Jesus means that none of us need to live, think, or function as if he was not the living Saviour and Lord that he says he is. Through the resurrection, as the song says, our faith can be clothed with certainty. And I think that's how we should leave here this morning. Our faith clothed with certainty. Because the resurrection changes the way we think about Jesus. We're going to finish by singing a lovely Easter song. You'll find it in the blue book. It's number 551. 551. And it's a great resurrection song. Thank you.